Social reunion. Hello, y'all. I was selling crack on a private jet up in the hell and back. But no confusion, this a reunion. Hello, y'all. Welcome back. Get murder here. He counting money. He said, can man, the hell with rap. I'm only here to shit on niggas and piss on bitches. Welcome, ass. I bought jewelry and bikes, nigga. Black Benzes and white Vickers. Now I'm out here and I'm looking for more chandeliers and light fixtures. Nah. I don't like niggas, what's wrong with me? I'm a high nigga, but this 44 turn a Michael Jordan. I look and say, take flight, nigga.
Welcome back to It Is What It Is. This episode is sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. The app is an easy way to make some cash just by making picks on your favorite players. Underdog is available in more than 30 states, including California, Texas, and New York, just to name a few. Make sure to support the show by hitting the link in the bio and downloading the Underdog Fantasy app. They'll also match your first deposit up to $100, and you get a special pick when you sign up. I'm Treasure Wilson, a.k.a. Stat Baby, along with your hosts, Mace and Cam.
What's up? What's up, Killer? What's up, Stat?
What's good, Joe? How y'all? Everything all right? What's the word?
Yeah, chilling, man. You know, the broom is out. I can't wait to talk about it.
Niggas back in the days used to really bring the broom out. I remember Mark Jackson and them niggas with the nigga. I got to talk to Mark about that. I think they swept Philly and they act. This one games used to be five series. They won 3-0 and they had the broom. I got to ask Mark about that.
Yeah.
You can't do that now. You probably get fined $2 million and all that dumb shit. But you was allowed to bring the broom out after the game and start sweeping on niggas. I miss that.
Maybe we need the trash pan. Don't even bring the broom. Just have the dustpan.
The dustpan, yeah. Niggas know what they start fanning they stuff with the dustpan. You know what's going on.
Bring that back. Okay, so let's discuss. The Timberwolves, they eliminated the Suns after a 122-115 win for the first sweep in Wolves history. How do you guys feel about the way the Suns went out?
I want to hear what Cam got to say, first of all, because this is his guy, you know? This is his guy, you know? Is he still Dipset after this? That's what I want to know.
That's a fact. I'm loyal to my niggas. It don't matter if you win, lose, or draw. Once you're part of my team, you're part of my team. I know you may not feel the same about certain niggas, but I'm not one of them niggas.
I like that. I just wanted to hear it from you.
I'm just going to turn my back.
People want me to ask you that.
I'm just saying that may be your thing. Like, yo, that nigga ain't rocking. I don't fuck with him. But yeah, that's my man. That's still my man. Look, at the end of the day, I don't have a lot of friends with $450 million. That's my man. Yeah, that's my friend. Absolutely. But as far as the game is concerned, look, it was bad. That was pretty bad, man. It was pretty bad. Look, the Timberwolves looked like they wanted this. After game two, I didn't have any hope in Phoenix winning this series whatsoever off the body language. You know what I'm saying? I could see the body language was gone. And I don't think that it's been right all season. Bradley Beal never really seemed like he fit in with the team. We haven't been talking about Devin Booker. We haven't been getting the Devin Booker that we was talking about the previous 2 or 3 years. Kevin Durant, he wasn't the same Kevin Durant that I was just used to seeing all these years. And it looked like Ant-Man imposed his will on this whole series, along with Karl Anthony Towns and the rest of the supporting cast as well. What a lot of people don't realize is that they have a really, really great seasoned veteran point guard, and it may not come to life all the time what Mike Conley does, but he's been around for a long time, playoff series, and may have never made it to a championship, but he has a lot of experience. And I believe it was 2 games ago, and he was on the sideline talking, and he was mic'd up, and they was like, he was like, yeah, Ant-Man is getting it. He understands what he needs to do now. And that speaks volumes for what goes on possibly in a locker room, talks, if they're cool or not. But you could tell it's more camaraderie and more conversation in the Minnesota locker room than probably in the Phoenix locker room or outside the locker room. Like, we always talk about how players don't necessarily hang out or be cool with each other. And it seems like once practice is over in Phoenix or game is over, everybody goes their way and they'll see each other again whenever it's time to play basketball. When it doesn't seem like that with Minnesota, it seems like very family-oriented. And I have no idea if none of this, what I'm saying, is true or not. But camaraderie speaks volumes. And it looks like they have a lot of camaraderie. But Ant-Man did his thing. He had 9 points in the first half, wasn't really playing well. Went in the locker room, changed the sneakers, came out at 31 in the second half. Karl Anthony Towns, 25 points, 10 rebounds. Those two did what they need to do this series. And congratulations to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Really, really good job. I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen with them in Denver in the next round.
Yeah, this was like a historic weekend for basketball. Just looking at them get their first sweep. I was actually asking you that jokingly. You know, Kevin Durant is one of my favorite players.
You know I'm fucking with you. Nerd.
Yeah,
all the time.
Like, but this is very interesting. It might be the changing of the guards, like we talked about earlier in the season. That these young guys, shout out to them, they came out and did what they supposed to do to change the narrative and say we're going into a new historical times where Minnesota is now the team that's sweeping people. I've never lived to see that. So this is really great. And what stood out to me the most was Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal only had 9 points and he had a bunch of turnovers and just never looked comfortable out there. And I remember when that thing happened with James Harden and whoever the young lady was, I said, this was the turning point in the season. I remember I said it. And now today I could see it. It's something that happened. It's going to come out that's going to let us know what happened to this this extremely talented Phoenix Sun team. It's no way you put Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, and book on the same team, give them ball, and get swept. Is just no way. This just makes no sense. If I'm a GM, you got to be scratching your head thinking what to do with this team, because there's a certain pride that players of this caliber is supposed to have. Like, each one of them have the ability to win one game by themselves. So there's no way they go out there and lose 4 games straight to the same team without making adjustments. That's what I would say. Because Kevin Durant had 33, and it was like Bible numbers today. Everybody had 33, 40, 49. It was just crazy. It was good basketball, though. Did you see the dunk? We can't leave that out. I know we cool with KD. We cannot leave that dunk out. That was a dunk for the ages. He definitely could use that for his highlight tape. Did you see the dunk, Killer, or you just were brushing it under the rug?
No, I seen it. I'm not brushing anything under the rug. It was amazing. Ant-Man's a really great player for a 22-year-old. Very poised. Knows when he needs to turn it on, when he needs to turn it on. Athletic. Very, very intelligent for a 22-year-old as well. And he knows that he's the machine on this team that needs to get it going. And the dunk was phenomenal. I thought it was crazy. I actually thought he got fouled on the dunk. Bradley Beal actually hit him on the head, pause. So the dunk was phenomenal. What we're looking at with Minnesota is realizing that they have two phenomenal big men, along with their defensive prowess is amazing. Even down to the final 5-6 seconds of the game was sealed. Devin Booker went to shoot a layup. They were down 6 points with probably 5 seconds left, and they boarded his shit. They punched his shit. Their defensive intensity is very, very underrated if nobody's paying attention to it. And having those two big men with Karl Anthony Towns and what's my French nigga name? I don't know why I can't think of his name off the top of my head right now.
Rudy Gobert?
Yeah, Rudy Gobert. It's not going to be enough for a lot of teams. You see, Nurkic couldn't do anything with it. And then what happens is you end up with Kevin Durant trying to play a 4 position, and that's not really what he does. Mm-hmm. So I know that a lot of teams are saying that, you know, we need a big man who could shoot a 3 or this, that, and third. This is going to show that sometime the big men still are going to count, and each team needs to get them one. Because not necessarily Rudy Gobert, but Karl Anthony Towns could shoot the 3 when he's open. So I'm really, really looking forward to see what happens in the next round with them. But it's no excuses. If I, like Mace said, if you're a GM for Phoenix, you have to wonder what's going on. And I would assume that they wouldn't want to lose them on their home court. I was there last year when they lost to Denver on their home court. And that shit was sad. It was a sad. I can imagine the feeling tonight, because at least they won two games last year with Denver. But I believe they checked out a long time ago. To me personally, I believe they checked out before the season, before the playoffs even started, my personal opinion. But then looking at their body language throughout the playoffs, this first round, you could tell it was over. They was waiting to go on vacation, my personal opinion.
Okay, so because of this win, a lot of people are looking at Anthony Edwards right now. So RG3 tweeted, Anthony Edwards will be league MVP next year. He is the new face of the NBA the people have been waiting for. Do you agree?
Yeah, I said that. I said that last game. I said, Ant-Man is starting to give off pause Jordan vibes. Like, remember when Jordan first came in the league? And I don't even think it was, it could have been this early. Jordan was around, I think, 22 when he was just going crazy. How old you think Jordan was, Killer, when he first got in the league going crazy?
He was going crazy. Well, he left as a junior, so he was 21 when he got to the league. He got Rookie of the Year. I would say probably about his second or third year, he was a problem.
Yeah, and he's right on course.
And not to cut you off, Mace, but Jordan wasn't necessarily doing winning playoff games just yet, neither. We all knew he was going to be a problem, but he was getting beat by the Cleveland Cavaliers and Larry Bird and them early in his career in the playoffs, too. So I'm not comparing Anthony Edwards to Jordan whatsoever, but to even win a playoff series this early in his career, not just win a playoff series, win it against the Phoenix Suns, who we thought was going to be in the Western Conference final and sweep them, is definitely amazing. But Jordan came into the league as a junior, so he's probably 21 years old when he got in the league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I meant by, like, Jordan vibes. Like, it was clear that nobody could guard him. Nobody. And I think Ant-Man is starting to show that. It doesn't look like anybody's really checking him. Not six rings, Jordan, but, you know... Early herringbone Jordan.
And then Cam, how do you feel about RG3's tweet?
I don't give a fuck what RG3 be saying, to be honest with you. I don't really fuck with that nigga like that, because he be saying a lot of shit just to be
just
getting
to make the media. Like, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't really fuck with that nigga like that. He be sprinting in three-piece suits, running the 40. And all type of shit with his suit on. And listen, I'm not going to sit and act like I was a pro in anything but what I'm doing now in music. But I'm a champion in everything I do, nigga. I'm over 12 million records sold. When you go platinum, that's a championship. I got 12 championships.
I don't
fuck with RG3. Yeah, you know what I'm saying, bro? I got 12, nigga, under the belt, nigga. Collectively. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, I don't really be pumping that nigga, because he say a lot of shit. I don't know. Was he the same nigga that said Kyle Lowry was thick? And then, he said the other shit talking about... Yeah, then he said the other shit he cuts on, calling Michael Penix, Michael Penix.
Yeah.
And I don't really like, he be reaching to me. And I don't really respect what he be saying, because he do a lot. It's clickbait. As far as being an analyst, I think he, you know, if you do your homework and study and do what you're supposed to do and you take this job serious, then you could be a great analyst if you put moving forward. As a career, but you know, he's supposed to be one of these analysts that's a former player, and he didn't have the best career in the world. And I'm not going to sit here and say a lot of analysts had the best career in the world. You know, you got Kendrick Perkins, who's one of my favorite analysts on television, and he's a champion, but he averaged like 6 points for his career. You know what I'm saying? So as far as RG3 is concerned, I don't really punt with that nigga. You know, he was looking like he's going to be that nigga when he came in the NFL. He didn't know how to fall. He kept sliding and getting hit in the head. He had a very short career. But as far as, and I thought he would be great. I thought that RG3 was going to be everything that Michael Vick was at the time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he just didn't turn out to be that way. But as far as an analyst, I think he do a lot of shit for clickbait. I think he's very intelligent, very smart. And what happens is me, and I don't mean any disrespect, but it's just like, you know, when the nerds try to be cool and they don't really be coming off cool because they a nerd, you be like, that wasn't funny, my nigga. You know you're in a nerd category. That's how I look at RG3. So I don't really give a fuck what RG3 said to me personally, honestly.
Noted. Okay, so let's discuss the Knicks. They beat the Sixers 97-92. The Knicks are leading the series 3-2-1. Just in general, how do you guys feel about the Knicks' progress throughout this entire season before we even get into the Sixers?
I think it's almost that time to bring the Knick jackets out and the Knick t-shirts because that boy Brunson is having a that's what I meant about historical night. Like, I mean, this weekend, he's having the best, he's displaying the best guard play I've ever seen from a Knick guard, ever. I'm going to go on the record and say ever. Like, at first, it was a joke earlier, and Sin kept bringing it up. But as you start watching the games, I don't remember a New York guard having a better season than him. I mean, in a postseason. Like, I don't remember one. I know Tiny Archibald, but that's about it. But for our living time, like that we're able to see as teenagers and all of that, I don't remember anybody having a better postseason. Do you, Killer, as a Knick guard?
Not off top of my head, I can't.
Yeah, because I'm thinking Gerald Wilkins definitely was better than that. Only person that really got busy was Mark Jackson. But with him getting 49 and all of that, I don't remember nobody getting that crazy. He's getting crazy with Philly. And to think that Tyrese Maxey and him could have been on the same team is scary. That's really scary to think about. I told y'all, though, but they didn't need Joel Embiid. I did say that. They were playing better without Joel. Joel was slowing the game up. Even though he's a dominant player, he's slowing the game up. I'm going on the record. I like Joel Embiid, but they was playing better without Joel. And they're going home.
And that too.
And they're going home. Okay. Killer, what you got to say to that?
First of all, Tiny Archibald never played with the Knicks. So start there. So we don't even want to put Tiny Archibald in the equation. I don't know why you would say that, because he's from Harlem, but he never played with the Knicks. Well, that's not what you said. You said the Knicks as a franchise, and he never played for the Knicks.
Yeah, so let's leave Tiny Archibald out. I said he's from New York.
No, you didn't. Stat, did he say for the franchise, you never seen a Knick?
I said, I don't ever remember that? New York Knick.
Why would we just be, yeah, and he never played for the Knicks. So why would you put him in the equation?
Because he's the only New York guard that had comparable numbers. He's the only New York guard that had comparable numbers.
Even though he didn't play for the Knicks.
But Cam, sometimes my brain is faster than my mouth. Cam, pause.
Wow.
I think
wow.
Fast.
Let me just turn this around.
I think
Let me
fast.
Just turn this around. Let me just put that right here. Your brain is faster than your mouth is crazy. I'm just going to start doing this.
Need one of those.
Wait a second.
We'll leave it right here for now, because since your brain is faster than your mouth, we'll leave that right here. Wow. You know what? You're right, because look what you just said. I think your mouth pause is faster than your brain. Pause. But what Mason is saying is absolutely correct as far as not New York City players, but New York City New York Knicks guards. I can't think of one off the top of my head. And with Jalen Brunson is nothing doing this, nothing short of amazing. We have to think about how we were saying he wasn't playing good the first two games, and he still had 22 points. Still with 22 points, he still wasn't playing good. Last game they lost, he had 39. Last night, he actually set a franchise record for most points by a New York player, period, in the postseason. He passed Bernard King. Bernard King, I believe, had 46, and he had 47. So he already has the record as a New York Knick for most points in the playoffs. Without, I'm talking about, we have to think about it, what a historic franchise this is, whether it's Patrick Ewing, whether it's Carmelo Anthony, whether it's Stephon Marbury, or whoever else we can name.
Bernard King.
Latrell Sprewell. Latrell Sprewell, Allen Houston. He has the most points in the postseason, so that's nothing short of amazing. But just New York is with the eye test. I want to give them a lot of credit because this game, what happens is this whole series, before we get to this game, the Sixers build up a 10-point lead, a double-digit lead, every game of this series. And when Joel Embiid goes to the bench, the Knicks go on a run to catch up or stay close or take the lead or whatsoever, and Philly can't recover. As soon as Joel Embiid goes to the bench, every game in the series, the lead diminishes. So with that being said, it's up to Nick Nurse to figure out what to do because you can't play Joel Embiid all 48 minutes. I mean, the guy's playing with a fucked up knee, Bell's palsy, if I'm pronouncing it right. Yeah. I'm giving him a lot of credit for even just being out there because I think he's tired of hearing the rumblings that he's always hurt, never there. But to Mason's credit, he probably should sit down. But a nigga like me, I respect it. But he looks a shell of himself out there. He's jogging slow up the court. He's still making the shots. Had a productive night, 27 points. But it's just too much Nick tenacity on defense. That last 5 minutes of the game last night was just the Knicks imposing their will on Philadelphia defensively. They wouldn't let them get a shot off. They were challenging everything. They were closing out. The defense on the Knicks is tremendous, especially in the last 5 minutes. And even when the other players who've done well, like Hart. Hart didn't have a great night shooting. He had 4 points, but he has 17 rebounds. I don't want to say his last name. I'm just calling him OG. He was imposing school. He was going to Joel Embiid like, I got an injured nigga. I'm going to take advantage of that. He had 14 rebounds. And the Knicks looked like they wanted it more than Philly wanted it. And not only that, it was times during that game that I thought they were playing in Madison Square Garden. You got to give it up to the Knicks fans. They traveled to Philly. It's not a long ride, an hour and a half. But it was times where, God damn, I thought we was in the Garden. Even Joel Embiid talked about it after the game, how he was so unpleased with it and he didn't like it. And he was like, I'm not calling out Philly fans, but God damn, man, it seemed like we was playing in New York. But you can't get mad at Philly fans. What happens is this. When they know these games are going on and when series are happening, New York fans is buying them tickets fast. I don't think it was Philly's fault that you had a lot of Knicks fans in there. It's just the Knicks fans were quicker getting the tickets. And it sounded like Madison Square Garden. And I don't want to jump the gun. I don't want to get hyped, but this just feels different. When you look at these players' faces, especially Jalen Brunson, they want it, then they're not satisfied. You could tell they're happy winning, but they're not celebrating. You know, it's one of them things where you win and, you know, you're so excited and you're celebrating and you're like, oh, yo, we beat these niggas. Nah, it looked like they want to move on and get to the next place they need to be. So I don't want to jump the gun and be excited because I've seen this movie before, but this just feels a little bit. And congratulations to Jalen Brunson on what he's doing so far in the postseason, because that's one thing with me as well. You have to see, one thing is in the regular season, but you become a star in the postseason, man. That's what makes you a superstar. And he's nothing short of amazing so far in this postseason.
Okay. And then I got to ask, at this point, have you guys counted the Sixers out?
I'm counting them out. I hope Gilly and them is watching because I'm definitely counting the Sixers out. I'm going with the Knicks over Philly. There's no way you can.
Yeah, right now it doesn't look good, but Joel Embiid just doesn't look like himself to me. And he's putting up decent numbers. He had 50 the game before last. I would say I'm going to give the Sixers one more game, but they're out in six.
Okay. And then this is what I think is a pretty interesting series. So Clippers versus Mavs. Clippers beat the Mavs 116-111 to tie the series. Who do you guys predict is taking the win in the next game?
What's the series now?
2-2.
Oh, my goodness. I love this particular series because it's, you know, you got good guard play. You got a bunch of people that got to prove themselves. It looked like Paul George came out looking like the GOAT again in this series. And I'm really happy for James Harden that he is actually able to show up during the postseason. This is really good for him. But if you ask who I got in the next game, I'm probably going to have to go with Dallas. Dallas. That's who I got. I don't think they can keep beating them without Kawhi. But, you know, some people may think different.
Me personally, I'm not sure exactly who I'm going to go with because every game they won is without Kawhi. Kawhi is hurt. The games that he played, you could tell he was hindering the team more than helping them. Of course, you may want to put him out there and see what production he could get because it's Kawhi Leonard, first ballot Hall of Famer when he's done. But you could tell he's not himself. But the games that the Clippers did win are without Kawhi Leonard. So I think, to me, that actually helps the Clippers because you don't want to have to defer. You want to give Kawhi respect and say, let's get him in shots. Let's get him involved. But I think with him not being there, this sets Paul George to be a little more free to do what he needs to do. James Harden's a little more free to do what he needs to do. And these are the games they're winning. They actually came out and had a 31-point lead in the first half. And I was like, oh, this game is over early. But Dallas climbed back. Kyrie, spectacular game, 40 points. And they showed a lot of fight and a lot of tenacity. But as far as asking me who's going to win the next game, this is a really great series. It's neck and neck. I'm not actually sure, but we got to think about it. The Clippers won this game, but they also won shooting 62% from three. Is that going to happen again? Probably not. But 62% from three is fucking amazing. Dallas didn't shoot that bad. They shot 33% from three. But when you shoot 62% from three as a team, you're probably going to win. That is a tremendous amount of, you know, and it was 18 for 29, so they made 18 threes. And I think that was really the difference. Even though Dallas came back down 31, they took a 2-point lead. They end up losing eventually. But I think the recipe right now for against Dallas is not having Kawhi. And it frees up playoff P. I call him playoff P because he looked like playoff P last night. And James Harden to do what they have to do. But as far as picking the next game, this is a really, really tough series to call. Then you got to think about it. You got two great coaches that were former point guards. You got Ty Lue against Jason Kidd. And Jason Kidd may have been a better player, but right now I think Ty Lue's a better coach. This is all sorts of variables and scenarios when it comes to this season. But I think it's really, really amazing. If I had to pick who's going to win the next game, shit, I'm going to go with the Clippers just off instinct. But if Dallas won, I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah. And I said Dallas because history just doesn't say that James Harden stay around the whole series. So that's why I said that. Not that they're not absolutely balling at this point.
And then so
James Harden made it to several conference finals. So he doesn't stick around when it's the conference finals. But
yeah,
in round ones and semifinals, he's played great historically throughout his career. It's when it gets towards getting to the championship is the difference to me.
And then just going to backtrack real quick. So in the Mavs game 3 win, right, Westbrook got ejected for pushing Luka, which led to punches between Russell Westbrook and PJ Washington. So right now there's a clip going viral of Stephen A. not understanding why Westbrook wasn't suspended. So he said that he called the league for answers. So the clip going viral right now is Gilly basically saying, why is Stephen A. calling the league asking for a player to be suspended? So thoughts on the discourse between Gilly, Stephen A. calling the league, just the whole thing as a whole. What do you guys think about that?
Go ahead, Killer. That shit
got. Go? Oh. No, I seen the clip and I seen everybody talking about it. I feel Gilly on that. At the end of the day, it was like, well, it's your job to be calling the league office to see what's going on. You know, Gilly, the way Gilly put it, and the way Gilly put it, it was hilarious. I watched the clip. It was very, very funny. But he has a point. You don't work for the NBA. You don't work for the Clippers nor the Mavericks. Why are you calling the league office and then getting on TV and talking about it? So I understand where Gilly's coming from, and I see a lot of people agreeing with Gilly on this particular topic. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know really what to say about it, but I feel Gilly, it was like you poking your nose in business that's not yours. I don't understand it. You're a civilian. Why are you butting into what the league should be doing when it comes to players? So if I had to pick a side, I'm going with Gilly with that.
That just sounds wild. I got to go back and look at that clip. But I definitely agree with Gilly on that. It's not your business, bro.
Basically what he was saying. A lot of people are saying that too, but yeah. I had to get you guys' opinion on it.
But maybe he feel like it is his business. He comments on sports. That's a part of his job.
But if so, you think it's okay to just call the league directly and be like, hey, why is he not? Even though sports is his job, would you ever do that, you know, call front office to see if you could get a player suspended because you didn't like how something went down on the court?
No, I wouldn't. I would never do that. But I'm saying I do understand where he's coming from, like from the aspect of, I don't understand. I was trying to create a talking point. I can't help you, Stephen A. I apologize.
Yeah.
What Stephen A would say is because he's such a good talker. And I don't know, I haven't spoken to him about this, but with Stephen A, I know him. I know his, you know, not the Stephen A I know personally, the Stephen A I watch on television. What Stephen A is going to say is, I didn't call to tell on nobody. I called to find out exactly what the rule is and why somebody wasn't. He does exactly what you Floridians do. He knows how to spin it and make sure
that ends. That's crazy. Like
that. He just said Stephen A from Florida.
No, I didn't say that. I said he knows how to spin well like you guys. I was just trying to say that he's so good. You know, I really wanted to see Stephen A debate Dame Dash. Two niggas who never let you get the last word. That would be a great debate for me personally to watch. But he'll clean it up, and I bet you'll have an answer on why he did it if he talks about it.
Yeah, that was crazy, Stephen A.
But I agree with Gilly on it.
All right, we're going to go to break, and when we return, we will discuss the Bucks versus the Pacers. Don't go anywhere.
She called this thing about toxic. 4 years and counting. Got you feeling like an option. Maybe I'm my own problem, babe. She's tired of hearing I don't know. My stubborn in me won't fall, oh-oh. Dealing with this thing called trust. But she really thinking about
she
us.
She wanna be free.
Why am I in this woman? She wanna be free.
Welcome back. Now let's get into our Underdog Fantasy picks of the day. Tonight, the Lakers will play Denver. Underdog Fantasy has Jokic at 27.5 points. Do you have him higher or lower, Mace?
Higher. They got to get that game back.
Okay.
Yep, higher.
Okay. LeBron's at 41.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Do you have him higher or lower, Cam?
Higher.
Higher.
Hey, and AD's at 16.5 rebounds and assists. Do you have him higher or lower, Mace?
How many?
16.5.
Lower.
I'm going higher. AD has about 25 rebounds last game. So you're saying rebounds and assists combined, definitely high.
Okay. Download the Underdog Fantasy app and you can make your picks too. So the Bucks lose to the Pacers 126-113. Dame and Giannis both did not play this game due to injuries. Just in general, things that we've seen from the Bucks organization this year. How do you guys feel about the Bucks' future before even getting into the details of the game?
I think they'll be straight in the future. I think they got enough pieces to actually win, long as it doesn't turn into what we saw with the Phoenix Suns. But they're out of here. They're definitely out of here this series. I don't see them coming back. Just to answer your question.
Yeah,
this game was actually closer than what it appeared to be, considering everything that Milwaukee went through. We got Damian Lillard out. We got Giannis out. Bobby Portis gets thrown out 7 minutes into the game because of a light scuffle, so he's out. Patrick Beverly tweaked his hip the first 6 minutes of the game. And I'm like, damn, how much more bad luck could they have? Chris Middleton was doing everything he could do. Third quarter, he tweaked his ankle. He kept playing. And he tweaked his ankle as well. So no Giannis, no Damian Lillard, no Bobby Portis. I heard Patrick Beverly. A wobble, Chris Middleton. They did a good job for what they had. Doc went deep on the bench. I forgot Gallinari was even in the league. So he played a lot of players that probably went and played, but this was just another three-point explosion by the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers shot over 50%. They shot 51.2% from three. And when I was watching this game, oh, my God, damn, I thought they shot a higher percentage than that because it seemed like they just couldn't miss from three. And you got everybody starting five and starting double digits. Obi Toppin comes off the bench and contributes 13 points. They did a phenomenal job. And I'm not sure if Milwaukee could recover, even if everybody comes back, because now you have to win three games in a row to even stay alive. I'm not sure if that could be possible. I'm not sure where Giannis is at coming back. Damian Lillard, that is, he aggravating an Achilles. You don't want to play with your Achilles. So if you have an aggravating Achilles, you don't necessarily know if he should come back next game. So they wobble. They're playing along. Like I said, you don't want to risk players' injuries long-term if they're young and they have some time left. Even if they're not young and don't have a lot of time left, you don't want to risk them having a long-term injury, but aggravated Achilles. They're saying Giannis is a calf soreness, a strain or whatever, which I think that's a lie. I think it's about his Achilles as well. When I seen him go down, I seen people go down from Achilles and nobody was near him. He just collapsed. So I think they're hiding it as a calf injury, but I'm not sure. Doc might be the black cat in the room. All this shit is happening since you've been there.
That's what I was getting at.
So at the end of the day, I'm not sure if they could recover, but not what was left. Definitely not without Dame and definitely not without Giannis. But the fight they put up yesterday was very, very decent. You got an Indiana team that shot over 50% from three and you couldn't do nothing about it. But what I will say is just I'm not sure what to do as far as the NBA, the games played throughout the season, load management, on and on and on and on and on. We don't have Zion. We don't have Damian Lillard. We don't have Giannis. We don't have Jimmy Butler. The superstars always seem to get missing, not saying purposely, but due to injury. Every season, we're missing two to three superstars that we're used to seeing in the playoffs. And I have no idea how it's supposed to go, to be honest with you. Motherfucking Denver, the Denver coach got hurt tonight. Not Denver, pardon me, the Minnesota Timberwolves coach. Mike Conley ran into him. They had to take him off the court tonight. Coaches is getting hurt at this point. Everybody's fucking hurt at this time of the season. So I don't know what to do about it, but you the way they market these players, these are the players you want to see in the postseason, and it's a plethora of them not playing right now.
Okay. And then on Saturday, the Lakers got a win, beating the Nuggets 119-108. Does this win make you regain hope with the Lakers, or you feel like they just got lucky?
I really do believe that the Lakers are out of here next game. I think this game that they won, LeBron try to play it down, because that's the best way to do it. Because if he make it seem like they're doing something, then Denver's going to come back and really want to play. So I think it was a very smart chess move of his to say, you know what, it's just basketball. Because if you go out there and say, now we found how we could beat them, then they'll come back and prove that you didn't find anything. I think when it comes down to Denver is going to be a hard team for anybody to beat, and the Lakers just don't have enough ammunition to do so. I think this year is completely over for the Lakers. And it'll be interesting to see what they do next year. But this series is over.
Yeah, I believe, pardon me, I believe Denver's going to win the series. I don't know if they're going to win the next game. Pardon me. Depends on the health of Jamal Murray. He aggravated the back of his leg. I'm not sure what particular part of his body that was, but he walked off limping, and he's questionable for next game, and he's a key piece to them winning. I'm pretty sure if he doesn't play next game, and if the Lakers do win, that he'll play game six. But I solely believe if game five is going to be won, depending on the health of Jamal Murray. What I do like the Lakers for doing, though, is not settling for the three. The Lakers really pounded the glass and the paint. They outscored Denver in the paint 72-52. And I think that was the difference. This NBA and this generation that we're watching, it's easy to fall in love with the three. Everybody falls in love with the three. And outside of Aaron Gordon, LeBron bullies everybody who comes to guard him on Denver. He takes them down to the paint, and he gets buckets in the paint. He can't do it to Aaron Gordon. He's having problems defensively guarding Aaron Gordon as well. But they switch off on the pick and roll, and anybody LeBron gets, he's bullying them. 39-year-old bully in the paint. And the numbers show, like I just said, 72 points in the paint to 52 points. I like that. Not settling for the three, getting baskets and getting to it. As far as the next game's concerned, I believe if Jamal Murray is healthy and he looks healthy, that Denver will win. If he's not healthy and doesn't play, I'm not sure they win the next game. But as far as the series is concerned, absolutely, I believe Denver's going to win the series.
So, Killer, what did you think about everybody's response to that statement about it's just basketball? Many people said Kobe never spoke like this, Jordan never spoke like that. Do you think there's anything to that, or they're just reaching at this point?
What was it? I seen him say that, but what was the question?
What did you think about him just saying it's just basketball when they lost?
No, not you. What? Not you. What is the question that they asked him for him to say that? I seen when he said that, but what was the question?
They was asking him about the brutal loss in game three, and many people.
So basically, that was in their game three loss, and then the conversation was around anxiety and then pressures on players. So then his response was just, "It's just basketball. At the end of the day, it's just basketball." So people took that quote when he was just talking about, I think, just like the anxiety and all the things around just being a basketball player in the league.
See, that's the reason I asked that question, is that I asked that question purposely, because that's what the era we're in. You take soundbites and you run with it. People don't even know the question that was asked. And I'm not just talking about LeBron with this situation. You take a quote, you take the soundbite, and people run with it, not knowing what led up to it. Like the time Allen Iverson said, it's just practice. It's just practice. Nobody to this day, I know because I watched the whole post-game interview, but you don't know what was asked before he said that. You take that soundbite and you run with it. That's been going on for the, however long that soundbite been, over 20 years or however long it's been, it's still being used because it's a soundbite. That's what we do. We take soundbites and run with it so people can make opinions not knowing what the question was asked before the soundbite. It's a lot of times you ask the questions, you say something, they take that, but not knowing the context what the question was asked to make you say that. So Stat cleared it up and they was talking about anxiety and pressure and so on and so forth. LeBron gets asked a bunch of questions all the time. He's been the face of the league for 20 years, just about. If maybe a little shorter because Kobe was still in the league and Tim Duncan and so on and so forth. But he's been the face of the league for a long time. So anything he says that's out of the ordinary, it seems like Kobe wouldn't do it or Jordan wouldn't do it. That's what people are going to run with. So I'm not taking his soundbite and say Kobe wouldn't do that, Jordan wouldn't do that. You ask him a question. You ask him a question. He answers your question. You may not have liked the answer to his question, but now it's a thing. Oh, LeBron says it's just basketball. Look, the man resume speaks for itself. He's the all-time leading scorer in the NBA ever. He's the all-time leading scorer in points per game. He's top 10 in assists. He has 4 championships. He went to 10 NBA championships straight, just demolished the Eastern Conference for 10 years in a row. So I'm not sitting here and act like LeBron don't care about basketball because he does.
Good point. Yeah, I was going to say
that's
that.
That's my opinion on that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That quote was misinterpreted, and that's just the thing of being, you know, obviously anybody
the
in the
real
public. And
that's why.
Yeah, so basically they're just asking him literally just, you know, pressures of being a basketball player. But I was going to ask you guys how you guys felt about him responding that way and then it being taken another way. Because basically since they just heard that and it was during a loss, people were like, here goes LeBron, like saying it's just basketball. AD got him not caring. But it's like, that was never what it was. So I wanted you guys' opinion on that, actually. But yeah.
It's like my man Dame Dash real quick. You sit there and you get all these sound bites. And for these, this is a rap scenario I'm just using. You get all these sound bites about Dame got to stop talking about Jay-Z. He always talking about Jay-Z. Why he talking about Jay-Z? You ask him about Jay-Z when he go do the interview. He ain't just getting up there talking about Jay-Z this and Jay-Z that. You ask him these questions so that when he answers it, you get the sound bite. And then you seems like he's just talking about niggas. When you go to these interviews, they ask you this, but you don't never post or share the question that was asked to make somebody say that. That happens all the time.
Okay. So now we got to discuss the Magic and the Cavs. So the Magic beat the Cavs. I sounded really uninterested. The Magic beat the Cavs 112-89. Their series is now tied as well. Just in general, who do you guys think has the stronger team? And how do you guys feel about this series? Because I feel like this is the one series that people
are not paying attention to, not talking about enough.
And you never know what could happen. So I want to know you guys' opinion.
Actually, Cleveland is actually balling. You know, like when you think of like how you want a team to play, I thought it would be so interesting if they come out of the East. People would not know what to do because they getting extremely good guard play from what's his name, from Donovan and the other point guard. He's doing very well. And, you know, when the Magic was like my sleeper team, not a team I'm rooting for that, but just like on the come up. When I look at this team, you know, I don't think they're going to beat Cleveland, but this is a great turnaround for the Magic franchise. I really don't think they're gonna beat Cleveland at this point. That's just as much as I can say at this point. I'm not really interested in the Cavs and the Magic. But Cam, you used to live in Orlando and you've been in Ohio. This should be good.
Yeah, it sounds like you haven't been watching, so I'll bring up the speed. Actually, the Cavaliers lost the last game.
I mean, I don't actually watch these type of teams.
If you're not interested, no, I know. So I'm going to tell you what's going on because you don't know what's going on. So I have no problem letting you know what's going on. The Cavaliers played a decent game last game against the Magic, the first half. And then Orlando seemed like it got a boost from their crowd, did really well. came back, when I think it was a 22-point victory that they won by. Your man, Banchero, if I'm saying his name right, he looked like he was leading the team and doing what he wanted to do. But this was another game with the three-point shooting was the difference. And that's what made the one. The Cavaliers went 4-for-17 from three, and that's not going to get it done. The Magic, they shot 12-for-28 for 48%. And that was really the difference. And as much as I was giving LeBron and the Lakers a lot of credit for pounding the ball in the paint, you got to hit the open shots as well. And that was the difference in the last game. The series is tied. I have no idea who's going to win the series. I do agree with Basement. It's probably the most uninteresting series in the first round, but it is still a playoff series, and they worked hard to get here. They wasn't in the play-in or nothing. So I'm going to pay attention to the games and see what's happening. But this is the most least interesting first round, but that's what happened. And I'm not sure who's going to win. I was going to say Cleveland the first two games, but the way the Magic looked, they look phenomenal when they're at home. So we'll see what happens. But as far as the series, this is a good one. This is a one neck and neck. I don't see the Donovan Mitchell that we've seen in the past. He's looking great. He looks spectacular, but he doesn't look like a superstar. He looks like an all-star. And we was expecting superstar potential from Donovan Mitchell 3-4 years ago. When he came out of Utah, when he was playing with Rudy Gobert, he looked phenomenal. He looked phenomenal at times in Cleveland. Look, he scored 71 points when he'd been in Cleveland. But throughout this series, I haven't seen the superstar Donovan Mitchell, and that's probably been the difference why the series is tied.
Yeah. I mean, if he was able to do what he did in the first half and the second half, would that be superstar for you? Because he did have 18 in the first half.
Well, you could be a superstar, but to me, also is willing your team to victory and mm-hmm. not just you having to have 50 points, but galvanizing the troops around you, saying, come on, we got to get this done. And going back to Anthony Edwards last night, he finished with a 40-piece, but at the end of the day, he had his players back. His players had his back. Everybody knows their role on that particular team. So it isn't about having 50 points and losing. It's about having 32-33 and pulling out the victory as long as getting other players involved, because nobody could do it by themselves. We haven't seen it done yet.
Okay. And then the Thunders beat the Pelicans 106-85. The Thunder are 3-0 in the series. There's still no Zion. Do you guys feel like the Thunder is the strongest team in the West, or do you feel like, because Zion's not playing? How do you guys feel about the Thunder's team as a whole?
I like the Thunder. I think they come right in like third place for me. Out of the West, I don't see them beating Denver, and I don't see them beating Ant-Man in a 7-game series. But I think what they're doing now is phenomenal. And anytime they get 21 points from Giddy, he's the X factor on that team. No matter how Shea plays, Giddy is the X factor for that team. They're going to go as far as he goes. So if everybody balls out, Chet balls out, but then you find yourself not getting what you need, pause, from Giddy, then they're not going to go as far as everybody think they had the potential to go. He's the X factor again on that team. But I think they beat the Pelicans without Zion. That's not really a hard feat. They were already at the top of the Western Conference. I want to see what they do against Denver and what they do against Ant-Man. That's going to say everything I need to see.
Yeah, I agree with that part what Mace is talking about as far as a Zion-less New Orleans team isn't a big challenge. But I still want to give them credit because they're all young players. Look, 2 years ago, OKC won 24 games. So for them to be the number one seed just 2 years later, you know, they always talk about we're rebuilding and we're rebuilding. All these teams, we're rebuilding. 24 games to the number one seed in 2 years is amazing. So I'm not going to slight them because they playing a Zionless Denver. Look, you still got CJ McCullough over there. You still got Brandon Ingram over there. And you still got a slew of veterans over there who's been in the playoffs and know what it's about, as opposed to Chet being his first year, as opposed to SGA just really getting his feet wet in the playoffs. Giddy as well. So it isn't like they're playing absolute bums. You're playing some really good talent. You just don't have the best player on the court. But my thing is this, if you're in the NBA, and I know injuries, I'm not going to say and downplay injuries, but this is why you have a 12-man roster. This is the reason why your GM can't just go get bums and put them at the end of the bench. Everybody out there in the NBA is supposed to be part of the 480 best players in the world. In the world. That's what it's supposed to be. That's what the NBA is. The 480 best players in the world. So people got to step up if your main player isn't there. And I'm not going to cut it short because that does mean a lot. But Mace is talking about Denver and Minnesota. I wouldn't even put them there yet, because when they do win this series, they're going to have to either play Dallas or the Clippers before you can even get to a Denver or Minnesota. So either out of Dallas or the Clippers, I don't think it's going to be New Orleans. So we have to see if they even get past that to get to Denver or Dallas. I think the next round would be very, very interesting. Like I said earlier, I'm not sure if it's the Clippers or the Mavericks, but I think that OKC will get some stiff applause competition between one of them teams, as opposed to the competition that they're getting now with the New Orleans Pelicans.
Okay. And then looking ahead, I'm just curious, who do you guys think OKC should want to play? The Clippers or Dallas?
That's a good one. I would think Dallas. They have a better chance against Dallas than the Clippers. Right now, it looks like the Clippers are picking up, they're picking up steam. They're becoming a better team each game. Like, and I just picked Dallas because, you know, that's a favorite, but they're looking like they're getting better as a team each time they go out. And that's what you look for. If you're a coach, you want to see a team gelling right at the right time. And this is the time to start gelling. This is when the champions start gelling. I think they're better off playing Dallas.
Nigga just said that the Clippers can't win without Kawhi, but now they're gelling. Wow. You all over the place, bro. You be everywhere, my nigga. Everywhere. The Clippers are gelling now, but 20 minutes ago, they can't win without Kawhi. Wow. Yo, Murda, You want to hit this, bro? Let me explain it to you.
Let me explain it to you. No, no, let me explain. You can't throw a statement out there and try to make me look crazy without me explaining it.
You making yourself look crazy.
No, because it does make sense. It does make sense.
Oh, my God.
It does make sense.
Could you go after his
okay,
mind?
Okay, go ahead. You go and I'll go after you.
Wow. My preference, look, I don't, to answer the question, I'm not sure who they should want to play, because this series is so, it's tightly contended between Dallas and the Clippers. Who I would rather see them play is Dallas, because I would love to see Shea against Kyrie. I want to see how this would work. Because Kyrie is one of them niggas who's just not having it. He's one of them niggas like, oh, this is your king? This who y'all like? Man, he did it to Steph. When Steph, everybody was stuffed out that year that Cleveland won that championship, LeBron was the MVP, and he was the man. You don't win that championship without Kyrie being big time, not only big time, clutch, hitting clutch shots when they matter. And even like last night, 40 points, man, and coming back from a 31-point deficit, amazing. So if you ask me who I want to see, I don't want to see OKC against Dallas, who they should want to play. I'm not sure, because both these teams are looking very, very good different days of the week, pardon me. Go ahead, Mace. Yeah.
No, I mean, it just seemed like you're becoming more Generation Z, you know, and Generation X, Cam. It's possible for two things to be true at the same time. It's possible to be gelling, but you're still not able to beat this team at the same time. That's possible, right? I don't see why that was possible, so hard to understand. Huh?
It's possible, but I love the debate.
Yeah. You know, Cam.
I'm saying at the end of the day, and I'm going to just keep it real, Stat just don't even feel like arguing with you, so she just be agreeing with you.
No, it's possible for two things to be right.
I'm being
right. It's possible for them to gel, and it's possible for them to not win without Kawhi. Just because you're gelling don't mean you're going to win, but you still are gelling.
That's what you said. That's what you do. That's the safety net that you keep that I'm talking about, where you say two things are right at the same time. You're not here. What you exactly said was, your exact words was, I picked Dallas because they're a favorite, but I really think the Clippers. After I broke down all the numbers to you, because you probably wasn't watching this weekend, then you like,
no, I said they're my favorite. They're my favorite. Yeah. I didn't say they're
that's what you
the
said.
Favorite. The favorite and my favorite is two different favorites.
Pause. That's what I said, that you said that they're your favorite.
Mm-hmm.
After you already, you went, because you was about to go back to the Clippers. She's like, well, I'm just saying, Dallas is my favorite, but the Clippers,
no,
they're gelling.
It's possible for you and a girl to be gelling and you still going to break up with her, right? Is that possible?
That's a fact. The thing about it is,
all I wanted to know.
I just be trying to help you because they see you in the comments. I'm trying to get you right, man.
Cam, they're Generation Z. They're Generation Z. I'm X. I know we think differently. I think it's possible for two things to be right.
Your exact words is they not going to win without Kawhi. And then you sat there and said, I think that they're going to win. Which one is it?
No, I said, I think they're gelling. I said, I think they're gelling.
All right, they can rewind this when they see this, right? It's on YouTube. They can rewind it if they see it. They're gonna go back.
I didn't say they're gelling. You putting three things out there now. I'm only addressing two things. I'm addressing that it's possible for two things to be true at the same time. That's the point I'm making. I'm not making no other point. Don't take my words and use it for something else, like you said about LeBron. Give me the same courtesy you just gave LeBron. Keep the question in context.
It wasn't a question, Mace. You made a statement, and I replied after your statement.
I know, but you're taking my statement out of context, like they did with LeBron.
No, you're not LeBron, and it's not the same scenario. Now you're doing a double spin. You on the ice capades right now. Now you're spinning. You're just all over the place. You're not dizzy, nigga. You should be dizzy right now. You should be ready to pass out. You should be dead dizzy. All this spinning you doing.
All I said was it's possible for two things to be right at the same time. And that's true. Anybody can understand that.
This is okay. Not a problem.
Well, on that note, that's all the time that we have for today. Thanks for watching. And as always, it is what it is.
Yo, rewind this and tell me who you agree with, me or Cam. Is it possible for two things to be right at the same time? That's all I'm saying, Cam.
You don't be on social media. They be killing you, bro. I love you. I'm trying to tell you this because I love you.
Social media guy.
That's why I'm trying to help you. I know you're not. I'm trying to help you and tell you you're getting killed up there a lot of time. You my brother. I don't like that. I don't like when that happens for you, man. I love you. You're not a social media nigga, so I'm trying to school you to what be happening. I love you, man. Love you like cooked food. I ain't gonna let them do that to you. We gonna talk off. You don't let them niggas do that to my brother, not big bro, man. You ain't gonna let that happen.
Well, there you have it.
There you have it.
I'll see y'all tomorrow. All
right.
What you want, nigga? Everything, nigga, super size. Two Big Macs. Like when they doing them 2 for 5.